I love it. Transformation and renewal is always so good that God gives us gifts. At His feet is a treasure store. I've never heard that before, but it was so wonderful to hear that hymn, huh? Where at the feet of Jesus is a treasure store, and He wants to transform us and renew us so that we can be His new creation. Amen? So that our heart is like His heart. That's our theme for this year, isn't it? God is so good. Well, this week is Mental Health Week. And I felt like I will disappoint you a lot if I don't talk something about mental health. Because I really would love to have you have a healthy mind, a healthy body, and a healthy soul. Now, the ushers are giving away what I have set aside for you. Is my treasure store, a pair of disposable chopsticks. Afterwards, when I see that all is done, I will give you the activity. No, there is no lunch prepared for you after service, I'm sorry. But you may bring it for lunch in case they don't give you a pair of chopsticks, and then you may decide to go Chinese today. Right. Let me just clip this. Okay. Now, today my topic is the rhythms of life. The rhythms of life. I like you to use your chopsticks. I think it's all distributed. I like you to use your chopsticks to create a rhythm. Huh? Have you heard this song? Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. Okay, so I want you to create a rhythm. A rhythm is a repetitive and a harmonious pattern of something. So, all right, I'm going to give you free play. In other words, you can create any rhythm you want at the count of 1, 2, 3. Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. Oh, very nice rhythm. Very good. Okay. So the rhythm is a repetition, a harmonious repetition of something, a sound in this case. And, okay, let me hear a slow rhythm. Very nice. Let me hear a medium rhythm. Fast rhythm. Super fast rhythm. Very, very good. Okay, so my topic today is on the rhythm of life. So the rhythm of life is the harmonious combination of rest, activity, and pace. It's the perfect harmonious combination of rest, activity, and pace in our everyday life. And as healthy disciples of Christ, the Lord wants us to have a healthy rhythm of rest, of activity, and also of pace. And I'm going to concentrate on three aspects of life that I think are very critical for us to be able to have rest, activity, as well as pace, so that we can really say we are healthy disciples. And this is Mental Health Week, so we want to be known as healthy disciples of Christ, not just for this week, but a whole year through. Amen? Let us pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank You so much that we are able to create rhythms, even with our chopsticks. The slow rhythm, the medium pace, the fast rhythm, the super fast rhythm. Only God, You know how to help us have that perfect combination where we can have activity, at the same time, rest and pace. Holy Spirit, come and teach us about mental health and how to be healthy disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first of all, let's look at the aspect of spiritual life. Spiritual life. The rhythm is to have Christocentric thinking, or putting Christ in the center of everything we do. Some of us have very fast-paced lives. You wear many hats because there is so much to keep up with. There is progress. there is development in your life and you've got to wear many hats. I recently wrote a book for my grandson. Just homemade book, not printable books, right? Homemade books, but using his photos, and I make my grandson wear many hats. These are two of my favorites, and these are hats he has to wear because grandma drew them in with his black and white photo. But you know, we go through one season to another, sometimes maybe quite hectic because we've got to go through a lot of things to do, establishing a career, changing a career, establishing a business, transiting into adulthood, buying a new house, becoming a parent, a grandparent, retiring, and so on and so forth. There are so many things to keep up in our life. Long to-do list. Just now Pastor Aaron says, long to-do list. And there is never a dull moment. We just have so many hats to wear as we go through life, sometimes even on a daily basis. Or sometimes we may be going through a tough time. And in a tough time, you are forced to wear many hats. You grow up very, very quickly. Some of us go through hard times when we are younger, and you may have to wear hats, many, many hats, when you were very young. Others of us, we have got slower paced lives, like just now, you know, slower paced lives. Maybe you have time in your hands. Maybe there were fewer things you need to attend to. Or maybe you are in transit and waiting for the right opportunity to be engaged again. Or maybe you just lack the motivation. There are many things to do. There's a long to-do list, but maybe you lack the motivation and it takes more effort for you to spring into action. But I say to you, whatever rhythm you are in at this time, remember this is Mental Health Week. So whatever rhythm you are in at this time, I want to suggest a rhythm that will make you very focused, that make you forward-looking, fueled by faith, and filled with fire. And that rhythm is to have Christocentric thinking, to put Christ in the center of everything we do. I make my grandson wear the helmet of salvation, praying for him already from birth, already praying for him that he will receive salvation, that he will wear the helmet of salvation. And a lot of us are believers here. You have the helmet of salvation on you so that you can declare the Lord Jesus Christ as a priority of all priorities. That Christ is your motivator. That Christ is your energizer. He is your way maker. He's a miracle worker and the... Oh, very good. The promise keeper, huh? You have the helmet of salvation to declare the Lord as that. You can put him in the center of everything. See, I grew up being taught not the Christocentric way of thinking. I was taught in the early days the hierarchical style of managing our priorities. In other words, if you have a lot of things to do, you need to have a to-do list. So always I was taught to put Christ first, and that's the right thing to do. And then I have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Usually my family comes in the second and then go on and on and so forth and so on and so on and so forth. And then I listed all the needs and then I prioritize them. Now all is good when you can manage the list top down. But sometimes certain items in the bottom list get missed up. Because by the time you hit number 4, maybe you're already so tired. Or you can be so engrossed with the things to do because things heaps up on you, you know, and there are so many things to do. Sometimes a to-do list or the hierarchical way of managing your priorities can become a drudgery rather than a blessing because you've got to keep crossing out and also. And we can be overwhelmed by the weight of life. Or we can be so bored to tears and life can become so gray. Because our needs are dynamic. Our needs always change. They change regularly. We have to attend to the routine needs. Then we have got the unexpected needs that come along, the interruptions of life. COVID is one example. Or we have got new ventures, new seasons of our life. Maybe we have big dreams. And even when we sleep, we dream dreams as well. There's so much sometimes to deal with. But when you know that God is in the center, when you know that God is in control of all your life, no matter how busy you are or how bored you may be, if you know that Christ is in the center of your life, He can take the weight away. Because in Philippians 4:9, God says He will supply all your needs. All your needs. Not according to your resources, but according to the glory in riches in Christ Jesus. I don't know whether you believe this, but God wants to be personally involved in your life to help you organize your lives in a deep and meaningful way. So one of the things of mental health is this. We need to know that Christ is in the center of our life, that He wants to be our personal organizer, and that He has the know-how. Because He's rich in knowledge. He knows our lives right into eternity. So He knows how to plan your life if you consecrate. The word, big word today is consecration from Brother Jack. It's to consecrate our life, make Christ the center of your life because He has the know-how to plan your life. If you remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Richard Roy says we are to seek the Lord early. Seek the Lord early. Not just meaning in the morning. You can be seeking the Lord in the evening or afternoon, doesn't matter. But seek the Lord as your first priority. Seek the Lord as the center of your lives. Wow, your life will be very different. Because Jesus invites us to develop a rhythm of listening to Him. If you plan the space to be in deep fellowship with God, God will meet you there. Because if you create the rhythm of seeking the Lord, you bring your needs and you bring your desires and God brings His abilities. So when you come into that space of seeking the Lord early in your life or as top priority, then it is God's opportunity to see your needs and your desires and to do you good. Believe that. I tell you what, believe that. I've never been so happy in my Christian life. Believe that because every step of the way, God takes care. Even the minutest detail. What did I hear just now? Even the hair on your head. This morning, drop a few. You know, these days, drop a few. God even knew my hair and how much has dropped and how much to replenish for me. God creates pathways that we sometimes would miss. God would point us in directions that you never knew existed, but God knows because He has the know-how. He is rich in knowledge. If you put Him in the center of your life, He wants you to not miss those pathways. And He invites us to be part of His priorities. God has priorities. God knows how we are being made. God knows our DNA. God knows our nerves, everything that is in us, our abilities, our talents, God knows. And God loves for us to be involved with His priorities. Because He knows the needs around. He knows what talents and abilities we have. And then He matches the needs and our talents together to make your life fulfilled. Hey, it's great to be busy. If you're busy, praise the Lord. But remember to put Jesus at the center of your lives. If right now you are resting and you are having a good rest, praise the Lord. Remember to put Jesus in the center of your life. Because when you seek Him, He will fulfill the desires of your heart. But let me warn you this. This is a disclaimer. This is a disclaimer. I'm going to warn you first, right? Sometimes when you seek the Lord, He may alert you that certain of your priorities are out of order. Sometimes He may want to tell you that He wants to make some changes to your plan. So when you seek Him, you need to be open to His invitation to sometimes reassess and reorder your priority. I wanted to be a teacher in the senior school, and I got really went through a long way to get there. But then God has got other ideas. He wants me to be a teacher in the faith, and then I became a pastor. And then I thought, I want to be a pastor my whole life. And then God says, you know, maybe there's something else for you. How about considering some mental health issues in the community? God knows how to lead you. You may not go through my trajectory, but you go through what God wants for you. But He may reassess and reorder your priority. But it's all for the benefit of us because He knows better. I always love it when I read this story about Jesus going to the mountainside to pray. He was praying and was really in deep fellowship with the Lord. He was planning that space to be with God. He was putting the Father as the center of his life. He could never grasp that he himself is God with the Father because he really put the Father in the center of his life. And he was resting from the demands of the day. He knows how to rest, Jesus. He knows how to rest. He knows how to rest in the Father. And when he was resting and finding such a deep fellowship with the Lord, the disciples came running, frantic, you know. Yo, oh, run, run, run. Oh, Jesus, we found you. So glad we found you. Everyone is looking for you. What are you doing here? This is such a common script, isn't it? People in your office, oh, yo, where did you go? I'm finding you. Oh, and then in the house, you know, where did you go? Especially your husband, eh? No. Where did you go? Only miss you for 5 minutes. No. You know, everyone is finding for you, right? Yeah, this is so very common. But Jesus didn't give in to the tyranny of the urgent. He didn't give in to the trap of popularity. He didn't say, oh, I'm needed. Okay, let me run. Okay, let's go frantically to meet every need. No, he says, okay, let's go to another town. I thought Jesus meet needs. Huh? All right? So we need to put Jesus in the center of our lives because Jesus knows exactly how to reassess and how to assess our priority and how to move us in the right path. We need to listen to the Lord just as Jesus listened to his Father and he says, no, we are not going to minister here in this town. Let's go to another town. We may want to lean in and hear what God is saying to us today. This is a fresh day. Do you know that today is a very fresh day? Because it's a new day. We are new creation. Things need not happen the way that it happened yesterday. It's a new day. And God wants us to lean in to hear what He is saying to us. In our hurry and in our flurry, we need to develop a rhythm of slowing down your activity and rest in the Lord and pace with Him. So I encourage you, talk to the Lord daily because He loves to talk to you. Don't neglect the fellowship of God's people because God always uses people around you to speak to you. Yesterday I was at a dinner and I was just sitting there and a dear friend came and he says, I felt this very strong verse for you. You know, God will supply all your needs. I said, ooh. I said, that was exactly what I was preaching this morning. He says, but God, your God will, you see, you need people to come around. Sometimes you may be feeling a little bit here and there, but you come around God's people and God uses people to build up your spiritual life, to give you the rhythm of activity, of rest, and of pace. Or God may want you to take some time out, you know, spend some time on your own with Him. I know of a friend who would go on her birthday every year. My friend in Singapore would go to a retreat, just she and the Lord alone. She said she will book a room and then she will just go and pray. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. Or go for retreats. I just came back from a retreat, 2-3 days of retreat, just to be with God's people and to hear what God is saying. Carve out that time because we want our hearts to be aligned with God. And in order to do that, we need to create that rhythm of having the Christocentric thinking, where we can put Christ in the center of everything, that we can think the mind of Christ and to go deeper with Him. This will keep you healthy, not only for the Mental Health Week, it will keep you healthy for the rest of your life. So I challenge you and I encourage you to always seek the... Then you may say, but what is the meaning of, you know, putting Christ in the center of your lives? Try telling the Lord that first. Say, Lord, I don't know what Pastor Kara is saying, but something about putting you in the center of your lives. Right, Lord, I want to put you in the center of my life. Would you show me? I tell you what, you will be opening yourself up to this mighty God, this personal organizer of yours, this counselor of yours that will lead you every step of your way. Amen? Amen. That's your spiritual life. Create a rhythm, huh? Right? Create a rhythm. The second one that I think is good to be healthy is in your relational life. In your relational life. Supportive relationships are crucial in life and also in mental health. Our families, our friendship circles, our church family, all these form part of our support networks or our supportive relationships. Research is telling us that if we are socially connected, the more socially connected you are, the healthier you are and the happier you are. I see my mom, she's 83 this year. She goes down to the West Coast Market and then, hello, 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 hello. Very happy for that half an hour. And then she's got her sister as well, who is older than her, 85 years old. They also will come from nowhere and they will sit at the same coffee table and then they will greet each other. So happy, socially connected. Go to the butcher, whoa. Go to the vegetable seller, oh. Socially connected people are healthier and happier. And Jesus, of course, is the one who advocated for that because He says, I want you, and this is found in Mark 12:31, He says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus set the example. Jesus loved His mom. He loved His mom so much that when He was on the cross, in His agony, He saw His beloved disciple, John, and He says, John, please take care of my mom. And mom, let John take care of you. Jesus loved His disciple, his mom and His disciple. And Jesus spent three years of His public life. In fact, that's how He started at 30, right? 3 years of His public life with 12 disciples. And then, of course, with other disciples as well. Relationally, He is connected. And Jesus loved hanging out with people. I would say it takes time to build relationships. It takes time to build relationship with the family. It takes time to build relationship with people outside your family. How many of you find it so? Right, it takes time, a lot of time. So in order to nurture relationships, I'm going to share with you a skill which can be practiced so that we can be mentally healthy. We need margin. We need margin. Okay, I'm going to explain a little bit. Margin is the space that is between your load and your limits. Now, in our daily life, we have got loads. We carry a lot of loads. The loads can be our work commitment, can be our family commitment, can be our problems, can be interpersonal problems, can be conflicts, can be expectations, can be our debts, our deadlines. All these are our loads, right? But we also have limits. The limits are our capacities. Limits are our resources, the talents that God has given to us, the abilities that God has given to us, the personality that can carry those loads. God has given us all that as our limits, as our resources. Now, margin is the reserve. In other words, you have the limit to deal with the load. Sometimes it's only enough, so you've got a very, very small margin. You want to be able to create big margins so that sometimes when the unexpected happens, when new things happen, when problems arise, You will be able to have the extended ability to deal with the loads. Yeah? So the Lord wants us to create margins. Is it quite clear? Quite clear? Okay, it's a good word. It's a really good word. I've been practicing this. It's a good word. It's the margin. So when Jesus went to the mountainside to pray to his Father, he's creating a margin. Yeah, he's creating spiritual reserves. So for us, in our relationship, we also want to create a margin so that we can have emotional reserves, so that we can be emotionally healthy. Okay, let me give you one plan. One plan of increasing your emotional margin is to increase your supportive relationships. Because supportive relationships increase your margin. The question I want to ask is, do you have a big margin? A big margin, or do you have a small margin in your life for contingencies? You need to ask the Lord for wisdom to look at the relationships you are keeping and then ask the Lord to help you build supportive relationships, because supportive relationships help you reduce your load and increase your limit. That's why we always encourage guys, go for your breakfast. Ladies, go for your breakfast, lunch, dinner. Go and enjoy. Because when you have got supportive relationships, when you have got coffee breaks with good friends, when you come to church together and we gather and we sing and we worship the Lord and we, you know, share each other's lives, we create a margin where our loads are being reduced and our limits are being increased. That's why I got so much energy. A lot of fuel, you know. Every time I say, oh God, I cannot already. Come to church, whoa, fired up again. And that's because supportive relationships increases our margin. God gives us relationships. Because we don't want to be overtired. You don't want to be over-functioning, because if you're over-functioning, then you carry a lot of loads, yeah? And when you carry a lot of loads, then you won't have time or the energy to form supportive relationships, because relationships take time. Or we don't want to be so preoccupied with our loads, always problem-focused, always focusing on problems, focusing on our debt, focusing on our commitment, always focusing on these problems, and not people focus, then our energy can also be drained. And when this happens, our relational rhythm gets disrupted. And then in the meantime, our family life goes on. If you have got a young family, your family members need you to hang out with them, you can't put them on hold. If you are too busy, overtired, you've got just so many things to take care of, then your families might suffer, yeah? And so there is a need to also carve out the time and the attention to hang around your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings. We also don't want to be emotionally detached. Research is saying that if we are emotionally detached or we want to avoid relationships, then we also may be easily exhausted. We will not be as mentally healthy as well if we only want to just keep everybody at a distance, best to avoid people. No, we want to be people, and this is important, and this we all do very well, I think, as Christians, because we are taught how to love. We want to know how to show affection. We want to be okay about discussing emotional issues. Okay, emotional issues are sometimes not very easy to discuss, but we want to be able to be okay. Maybe we're not great at talking about emotional stuff, right? But it is okay to be comfortable about talking about emotional issues, and that we can express our needs and our emotions comfortably with each other, because that's to give you the ability to build up your margin, your emotional margin. Because if we are emotionally detached, like, no, your life is your life and my life is my life, you do what you want and I do what I want, then what is happening is that you create a family atmosphere or a church atmosphere or a social atmosphere that is very tense and not enjoyable because everybody has got something to restrain or to hide from. So it will not become enjoyable. And then we may, you know, have temper flares, we may have silent wars, or just the reluctance of opening up. We don't want that to happen as well. Because with God's help, we can actually form a rhythm to help us reduce our loads, to be less anxious, to be less worried, and then to increase our resources through good communication, through leisure, through spontaneity, and through play. So first thing first, we can learn to edit our loads, all right? Edit our loads. If our priorities are too many, too overwhelming, it's good to do an edit, yeah? So to create margin, you need to edit loads that are not helpful in helping you build supportive relationships. Maybe there are some beliefs that you have or some activities that you have that you may need to limit or maybe even do away or may even need to avoid them. Some of these loads can be physical. Some of these loads can be mental or emotional. So if you're going to spend more family time, there may be distractions outside home that may be taking your energy away. You may need to look at what you can edit so that you're able to spend more time, have more margin in the home. Or maybe you are over-responsible. That can be a mental load, right? If you keep focusing on the load, on the burden, then you may be over-responsible and you may be focusing too much on family problems. Maybe you keep looking at the problems, you cannot see the blessings. That's why my job is always to say, okay, how can we find gold in a place where you think is empty of gold? And I always ask them to go and look, and they will have a lot of difficulties finding. But then I stay with them, and then they begin to have a lot more. We need to see the blessings that we have, not just the problems. If you keep focusing on the problems, then you're going to create a lot of exhaustion. Yeah, then you won't have that margin that the Lord Jesus wants to give us to be able to take on things that He may have in His heart for us. So don't be over-responsible, because if you're over-responsible, then you are adding on to your load. Or you may be having a mental load of not having your needs met, and then there's blame in the family, or you blame yourself for not meeting your family needs, and then you rather distance yourself. All these are things that are not helpful. So we need to edit those loads, those mental loads, so that we are able to fully focus on what the Lord wants us to do. So it's to say no to some of those things that are not helpful to us, to certain things that are not creating health in us. We need to say no to them, edit unnecessary activities or beliefs or thinking, and rediscover what God wants us to have as priorities for this present moment. I would say keep your loads to 80% so that you have got a reasonably good margin of 20% to work with, yeah? And that 20% can make you feel fresher and healthier. Or even sometimes picking up a new skill can be helpful. Learn how to problem solve properly. Learn how to be stronger in the way you go about doing certain chores in the family. When you learn new skills, you create a lot more margin. And then that way, you reduce your load, reduce the problem, and increase your resources. Amen? Amen. Amen. So one way, reduce your load to create margin. The other way is to extend your limit, increase your resources, increase your abilities, so that you are able to have a lot more margin to have during those times when you need them. So use the margin for spontaneity, for play, for leisure. Jesus has margins to be spontaneous. Jesus has margins for play and also for leisure. He was eating and drinking with people in the neighborhood. He was always talking and relating to people. So the home is actually a good place for us to recharge. So keep the home comfortable, so that the home is a place where we recharge. Don't raise our voices in the home. Reduce our voices. Speak nicely to each other. Keep the house comfortable. The church is another place to be rejuvenated. You know, we come together and we enjoy each other. We create margin. You know, we have a hard day's work for the week, and we come to the church and we get rejuvenated. We create margin, reserves, so that when we step out of this house just now, was it Jack? He says, when you step out of this place, we'll be different. Different because you have the energy of the Lord deposited in you, a bigger margin, so that you can go out there and enjoy life or to do the work that you are called to do. Some of you are doing work that is really, really hard. Well, it's time that we recharge ourselves so that our margin is bigger, so that your work becomes not a drudgery, but a blessing. So do things that will give you emotional energy. Like in a family or in the church, we do things, we create activities that will recharge us. Family time, time off. When you have time off, don't keep working in your home office. You know, take time off. Family time, create family time. When is your regular family time where you can go out and hang out and create margin? You need to factor into your day. If not, it's very easy to pass a day. Sometimes 3 days can pass very quickly. If you don't factor anything in, if you don't plan anything in to create margin, family time can just go so fast. Plan some things. Maybe, ladies, maybe you are the initiator of activities. Plan. Guys, maybe you are the ones who are very good in organizing things for the family. Plan. You know, have prayer time together as a family. Have laughter time. I was told maybe not true. That's why I didn't really want to say this, but I thought maybe I'll say this. And you go and check it out. You Google, right? You're very good in Googling. I don't know whether is it true that every 4 minutes for children, they produce 400 laughs. Laughter. 400, like, 400. 4 minutes. Not sure, man. Adulthood reduces to 15 only. Every 4 minutes. So, find time to laugh. We have the joy of the Lord. When you laugh and have people, I think it's better to find people to laugh with, you know. If you laugh on your own can, I know some people, they have laughter therapy, it's true. They go to the room and they laugh, it's good. But I think if you laugh with people, it's crazy, man. You come together and, you know, sometimes my daughter would say, hey, mommy, mom, actually not very funny, but I find you laughing all the time. Why? Because people around just tickles you. They just make you laugh. You don't realize you are laughing until you hear yourself on tape. Then you realize, oh, I've been laughing a lot. Laugh, find time to laugh. Food time is always very good to create healthy margin. Have food together. Create opportunities to do life together. Don't detach, don't isolate. Come together and have a reasonable time of get together, because these activities really nurture your spirit, nurture your family, fill you with delight, and actually create margins of emotional energy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I pray that in your social life, you will change, be transformed, be renewed, find a lot of opportunities where you can see the positives, do positive things, so that you can really create a good margin. And this margin is really good. This margin is really good because it will help you. It's a reserve when you do go through tough times. Amen. The third one is your work life. Your work life. And the rhythm I like you to have is to work and rest. Work hard, rest hard. And then you don't have to wait for, wow, when you are 70, then you really rest. Don't have to. You rest now. You work, you rest, you work, you rest. The rhythm is there. The momentum is there. And then finally, when you retire, you still work and you still rest. You still work and you still rest. I'm talking to Pastor. You still... you still... I tell you what, you'll be so enjoyable till the very last of our lives. That's God's plan. He's a master organizer. He loves for us to have life right to the very end in a very healthy way. So, for most of us, there is a need to do paid work. Let's face it. We got to put food on the table. You cannot just rest and not earn money, you know. There's a need to do paid work, and I get it. We need to put food on the table. But work can also be unpaid, can also be voluntary, can be church work, ministry work, community involvement, grandparenting, not paid, but wow, the rewards are great. No? In fact, you pay them to bring the grandson to you. But still, you know, whatever work you do, whether it's paid or unpaid, we still need to create a rhythm of rest so that a healthy margin is being created. See, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I realize over these many years as a Christian, I realize that the pace Jesus set for us is actually very gentle and considerate. Because he says, "Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart." He doesn't work us to depletion and exhaustion. Jesus doesn't want us to become burnt offerings, you know. You know, so burnt out and so exhausted, like as though, you know, if you really work yourself to bits, that Jesus will be so pleased with you. No, I don't think Jesus is like that. He's very gentle. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Depend on him for perfect rest." So that when God gives you a lot of hard work, you can take it because God knows also how to help you to rest in him. Because when God gives you a lot of work, God also wants you to rest. Because when you have rest and work and you create it as a rhythm, yeah, your life will be happy, you know. Yes, praise the Lord. We don't want to be overcrowded. We don't want our schedule to be filled to over, brimming over with a lot of activities, because adrenaline, even though it's good, is a very addictive hormone. You will want more and more and more and more to sustain you. And what Professor Archibald Hart says, you'll be thrilled to death. So don't have a lot of activities, then thrilled to death. No, don't overcrowd your life. It is healthy to be able to draw lines so that we can stay healthy. Work time is important, but time to think is important too. Work time is important. Free time, personal time are also important, because then when we put Jesus in the center of our lives, the Lord will direct us as to what we will do. Don't overcrowd your life, okay? That's why we do tell people who are gaming a lot, because gaming is very addictive. And so sometimes it overcrowds life and then you cannot function properly. So it is good to free up time, to think, to have me time, and to have we time. I think we need to create physical rhythm. We can rest without guilt. Rest. So for those who are working very hard, rest without guilt. Because your body needs to make melatonin to help you sleep better, yeah? We want to have adrenaline, we also want to have melatonin so that you can actually sleep better. Pick up hobbies! Huh? Doesn't mean if you are a Christian worker, you cannot enjoy yourself in hobbies. Pick up hobbies! But don't, of course, let your hobbies overcrowd your lives, huh? Don't be too addictive in your hobbies. But exercise self-care. Keep active. Exercise with friends. Tuesday, we've got praise dance, and they all come together, you know, and they refresh each other. I tell you what, oxygen is God's prescription for healthy living. And the more we get oxygen, the more we are able to think better, think well, think healthier. And I also think that it is good to create emotional rhythm as well, not just the physical. We also want to create emotional energy and some of the styles that will deplete our energy. Researchers say there are two styles. One style that will really deplete you emotionally and create a lot less margin in you is this mindset called a sense of failure. So catch yourself downplaying yourself. If you keep telling yourself, you know, all my work experience will result in failure or defeat, or I will make mistakes and that's so embarrassing, all these sort of scripts are scripts of failure. They will keep playing on your mind, and then you feel that you have failed, or you feel that you have been inadequate compared to other people, you feel you're not as successful. All these sort of scripts will take your energy away. All right, so much as you ask God, God, strengthen me, God, strengthen me, and God says, yeah, yeah, I'm helping you. But if you keep thinking a sense of failure, then you keep getting your energy drained. So stop rehearsing those sort of scripts. Ask the Lord to help us. And take time to self-validate. Take time to self-affirm, because we have an identity in Christ and we have competence. We are actually called the competent ministers of the new covenant. Speak with people that are more matured in the church or elsewhere. Come together and be able to help you get a sense of who you really are. Combat this sense of failure. Don't keep being preoccupied, because it's a load. Remember? The load. If you keep thinking like that, you cannot, you're not successful, you're failing this, and you always make mistakes, you can never be as successful as somebody else or whatever. Those sort of thinking styles will actually deplete you and then will drain your energy and drain your margin. Yeah? So we don't want to be that. We only know that we work and we rest only for the audience of one, our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, because you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Ask the Lord to remove those things. And the other coping style that I believe we really must not have too much of it is relentless standards. In your work, if you believe that you must strive to meet very high standards of either behavior or performance, you will be emotionally exhausted. If you keep thinking you must have this, well, must reach this bar and reach this level of competence, and you are really, you know, putting your whole heart and mind at the expense of your family, and you will be exhausted. Even talking about it, I feel exhausted. And you will be so exhausted you cannot slow down. You will reduce your margin. You can't relax, your health is compromised, your self-esteem dropped, because it's like, how come I cannot do it now? Of course you can't, you're 62. last time when 20, of course you can do a lot of things. Last time I can carry big bags, man, no problem. Now, why? Because I'm 62. I cannot have relentless standards. So same thing with us, we cannot have those sort of unrelenting sort of standards, because it's going to compromise with our relaxation and our health and our work attitude. We won't enjoy life as much, yeah? Because if we are too preoccupied with unrelenting standards, we're always pursuing very, very, very high standards at the expense of a lot of other values, then we can be so rigid in the, we should do this, we must do that, and whoa, life is a must, whoa, so strenuous, not gentle. Today I sense a gentle presence of the Lord, you know, even when we are worshiping. Just a gentle presence of the Lord. I tell you what, God is so strong, but He's so gentle. This is very hard to grasp. You cannot grasp with your physical mind. Something can be so strong and can be so gentle. You can only grasp with the spiritual mind. God is both gentle and strong. And He doesn't want you to be striving at the expense of your health to achieve that high level, because it's going to reduce your level of margin. Instead, you really need to let go. Release pressure. Ask the Lord to help you rest. Release pressure. Maybe if you are doing a very stressful sort of work, do activities outside your office that is less rigid. Give yourself permission and allowance to be less accurate. Maybe do abstract painting. You don't have to color in the lines. Abstract painting, you just... and then, whoa! Or play with children. No rules. Or doodle. Nowadays, a lot of doodling pets. Doodle, go and doodle. Or cook. Cook like who? No, Jamie Oliver. Dollop here, dollop there. Do things that are more relaxing. So this is good for mental health. God has got work for us to do. Some of the work are intense. Some of the work are for the long haul. God wants us to be who we really are. And God wants to fulfill and maximize us. But we need to learn how to take our rest and have our margin so that we are able to put into our work not a rigidity, but a flexibility and a resilience and a gentle power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, in conclusion, I would say three things to you. Be excellent, putting Christ in the center of everything you do. And I pray that you will have more Christocentric thinking. Number two, get good at creating margin by building supportive relationships. Start with your home, start with the church. More margins in relationship. More margins in relationship. And I pray that God will give you a lot of work to do, important work to do. You work hard, but I pray that you will also rest hard so that you can be in rhythm with our Master. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we come to you with all our sense of failings and all our unrelenting standards, whatever that we have put on ourselves that give us that load and that pressure. Lord, we put at your feet, O Lord, and we say, dear Lord, today, take these mindsets away from us because we don't want to be emotionally exhausted. We want to receive the fresh move of the Spirit, oh God, because we are in a new season, in a new day, we are new creation. We want to create a rhythm, oh Lord, that is healthy. Whether it's fast or slow, super fast or super slow, doesn't matter. Lord, we want to be in rhythm with you. So that, Lord, we can experience, oh Lord, that relationship that is ever fresh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to be like Jesus. Know when to hang out and when to stop. When to go to the mountainside to pray and when to go away to another town and not give in to the demands of people. Oh, teach us to be like Jesus, oh Lord. Teach us to be like Him who loved people and has a depth with people. And yet knows how to rest, O Lord, and not give in to the demands of too many needs outside of Himself. O God, we want to be like Jesus. Truly, we want our hearts, O Lord, to be aligned to be like Jesus. Give us that rhythm. Even today, Lord, begin to attune our rhythm, O Lord, to be like that of our Lord. Lord, for us who are busy and frantic, O Lord, help us cease from being anxious, cease from being worried. Help us to enjoy life a little bit. And for those of us, Lord, whose rhythm needs to increase, oh Lord, help us, give us visions and give us purpose. Give us dreams, oh Lord, so that we can work hard and then we can rest hard, oh Lord. Lord, you know the needs of everyone here. Only you can regulate the rhythm, and today, dear Lord, you are here. And you want to speak to your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.